Let's spend a moment in prayer, and I'm going to beckon you to be in prayer for Jim Langston. He feels like he's coming down with an infection, which is what he does not need. He cannot do the therapy if he has infection, and he did not sound very well this morning. So please be in prayer that God work his will out as far as Jim Langston's current position. And I might as well just say it, his promotion home. And so let's be in prayer for Jim and Annelle at this time. And let's get ready for our study in the Word of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the confidence, the assurance that we have of after death and into eternity. What a wonderful God you are, Father, that we're like all the religions of the world. We know. We know exactly where we will be and why. And it's not by works. It's not by killing others. It's by believing in your Son. And Father, we thank you now for the Word of God that teaches us about you and how to pray. Pray your Spirit will open our eyes this morning to things you'd have us to see in regard to prayer from Psalm 86. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we left off last week right where I've handed out for you copies of the prayer request, of David. And to me, these are the kinds of things you study the Psalms for. You learn how to pray. And David is a great prayer warrior. And I was just struck with the verbs and the way that he addressed to God to come to his aid. So let's take a look on the sheet that I've handed out to you. Verse 1, incline your ear. Now, it should have made answer me a separate one. And answer me. Why? I am afflicted and need. And then in verse 2, preserve my soul. You are my God. Verse 2, save or deliver. Most people, when you put the word save, all they can think about is salvation one. So I like to put deliver because he's already a believer. So he's talking about deliverance in life. Deliver your servant. I trust you. Note here his attitude about himself. I'm your servant. So on that basis, I trust you. Verse 3, be gracious to me, for I cry out to you. Verse 4, make glad my soul, for to you I lift up my soul. Verse 6, give ear, listen. So verse 1, incline your ear. In verse 6, give ear, means to listen, so as to act. Verse 6, give heed to my supplications, means to answer them, to act upon them. Verse 11, teach me your way, that I may walk in it. Verse 11, unite my soul to fear your name. And we spent some time with that. That's a beautiful concept, that all areas of our soul, not just one area, all areas of our soul are united in our relationship with God. Verse 16, turn to me. Verse 16, be gracious to me. Verse 16, grant or deliver strength to your servant. Verse 16, deliver me. Verse 17, mark me as a good sign. So just look at the way to, yes.
Do what
now, honey?
When you say that you listen to somebody.
Yeah.
As opposed to just hearing what they say.
Yeah.
Does it mean that, does it imply that you also have to agree with what they say?
Not necessarily agree, but to act on it.
Okay.
To act on it. Listen so as to act. We'll see that this morning when we get into our text. So, and just a couple of things. This to me is a wonderful sheet that Kid put together for her to pass out to you. All the things. Verse 1, me. Verse 2, my soul. Verse 3, me. Verse 4, my soul. Verse 6, my supplications. Verse 11, teach me. Verse 11, my heart. Verse 16, me. Verse 16, me. Verse 16, your servant. Verse 16, me. Verse 17, me. People, don't be afraid. Don't buy all that stuff, well, it's all about you, and you don't care about anybody else. This is, when you pray to God, and you come to Him with a heavy heart, things going on in your life, it's about you. I need you. I personally need you. I need your strength. I need your deliverance. And so I just am so appreciative that the Holy Spirit preserved this prayer for us. And so all of the beckoning to God, incline your ear, preserve, save, be gracious, make glad, give ear, give heed, teach, unite, turn, be gracious, grant, deliver, mark. All these are verbs beckoning to God to come to His aid. Beckoning to God to help Him in various ways in life. So, you can take this home and use it, I think I'm going to, as a outline for personal prayer in your own life. And sometime, what we need for God is to know that He's hearing. Sometimes it just looks like God isn't listening. Like God doesn't care. Yes, He does. And David wants to be sure, so he says, listen to me. Incline your ear to me. And then he says, deliver me. I'm in trouble. I need your deliverance. Make glad my soul, inner happiness. And teach me. Teach me your way, O Lord. And he does that through his word. And turn to me so as to act. We'll see that in a few moments. Be gracious to me. So he calls on God and his essence, his attributes, what God can do, and what God declares that he will do. So to me, this is just a wonderful outline for study for our own prayer life in dealing with when we are in trouble, when we hurt, or when someone we love hurts. This is a wonderful way to open up our prayers to him. Whenever you feel that the Lord has turned away from you and doesn't care about you, want you to know something. You're not alone. Know this. You are not alone. Remember, we're weak and sensitive creatures. And therefore, we feel sometimes like we're all alone. But this has been going on through all history. This is prayed by man now, who when a young boy took on Goliath, took on lions, took on bears. And listen to him. He's begging God to help him. So don't ever become discouraged when you are discouraged in life. It's part of our human nature. So the great King David, through whom God has wrought multitude of victories, starting with demonstrating his great faith, when he slew the antagonist Goliath. Yet here he is, acting like he hasn't won any victory at all, and yet God has turned away from him. He's crying out to God for help. So don't ever feel guilty for crying out to God. People, let me tell you something, his character, he loves that. He loves to know you know he's the only one that can help you, help him. Help you in your circumstances. He loves that. Any parent would. any adult parent would. When your child comes to you and just, I need help. I'm hurting. And how wonderful that is. And so it gets back to the old hymn, I need thee every hour. And that's what we have to have, that attitude in us. And oftentimes, God either orchestrates things in our life or allows things to happen in our life to bring us to that point. He will allow it to happen so that we will come to Him. And so He allows these things to happen. And so don't be intimidated by anyone who is concerned about yourself. And that all is said in sarcasm and judgment. You bet it's about me. It's about me and the Lord. It's about my life. It's about what I'm going through. What my family's going through, what my friend's going through, whatever it is about me. And therefore, just read through this psalm, this prayer, and see how many times David says, me. Be gracious to me. See? Turn to me. Grant to me. Deliver me. See? Mark me. So many things. It's just about Him and the Lord. So our God is a personal God. And when we need Him, He's there to help. He wants to, individually. Remember, always remember, Jesus Christ died for you on that cross. It's a very personal relationship. Now, something else I want to do here. Let's note the various names that David uses in addressing God. Okay, verse 1. Incline your ear, O Lord. Here he uses the tetragrammaton Yahweh, YHWH. Verse 2, you are my God, Elohim. Verse 3, be gracious to me, O Lord. Here he says, uses Adonai. So we're in three verses, he's addressed him as Yahweh, Elohim, and Adonai. Adonai in verse 4. Adonai in verse 5. Verse 6. Give ear, O Lord, Yahweh. YHWH. Verse 8. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, Adonai. Verse 9. All the nations will come and worship before you, O Lord, Adonai. Verse 10, you alone are God, Elohim. Verse 11, teach me your way, O Lord, Yahweh. Verse 12, O Lord, my God, Lord, Adonai, God, Elohim. Verse 14, O God, Elohim. Verse 15 is interesting. Verse 15, but you, O Lord, Adonai, art a God. El, not Elohim, just El. Just El. That's all that he uses in verse 15. Verse 17, you, O Lord, Yahweh. Now, note that David closes by the name by which he did in verse 1. Verse 1, incline your ear, O Yahweh. Verse 17, you, O Yahweh. He addresses God 15 times in 17 verses by name. 15 times in 17 verses. It's a very personal prayer. Between hurting David and his Savior King. Now let's look at the names he uses. Yahweh, YHWH. It's a personal name of God by which he revealed himself to Moses. Let's look at Exodus chapter 6. Exodus 6. verse 2. Exodus 6, verse 2. God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. And I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, Lord Yahweh, I did not make myself known to them. Get it? I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty, but I did not appear to them as Yahweh, a personal God. I'm coming to you, Moses, as Yahweh, a personal God. Jews did not pronounce this name. They would not, they refused to pronounce this name out of respect of its sacredness. And so they used other names and other ways of pronouncing it. But every time they would come to this name, Yahweh, they wouldn't say Yahweh. Now, let's look at the next one that he used. Elohim, E-L-O-H-I-M. This just simply means God, Creator, and Sovereign. God, Creator, and Sovereign. Now we come to Adonai, A-D-O-N-I or A-D-O-N-A-Y, whatever you choose. Now, this is used exclusively of God. It's the pronounced name. When the Jews would see Yahweh, they would say Adonai. And still do, by the way. They would not pronounce, dare to pronounce his name. It was so sacred. So we looked at Yahweh, Elohim, Adonai. What about El? El simply is a simple reference to God. El. Mighty. And it's the most ancient term for God, deity. So, El is that. So we have Yahweh, Elohim, Adonai, El. David uses four different names in his prayer to God. But let me tell you how wonderful is our primary name that we address him by when we go into prayer. Father. There's nothing more personal than that. Father. Intimate relationship through or by means of our relationship with his Son. With his Son. The very name by which Jesus addresses him. Let's look at John 17. I love this psalm. Psalm 17, or this passage. John 17. Gospel of John, chapter 17. Okay, let's take a look. Verse 1. Jesus spoke these things, and lifting his eyes to heaven, he said, Father. Look at verse 3. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God. Look at verse 11. I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. So he's addressing them as Father, true God, Holy Father. Look at verse 25. Look at verse 25. O righteous Father. See? So, Jesus Christ, in his prayer, look at the number of ways he addresses God. Father, only true God, Holy Father, righteous Father. Now, we've spent a lot of time on Psalm 86. I cannot pass up the opportunity to just note a few things in the Lord's Prayer. So let's go back to verse 1. Jesus spoke these things, and lifting his eyes to heaven, up to heaven. So we pray with our eyes closed. That's nothing sacred about it, nothing mandatory about it. In fact, if you're praying while you're driving, I don't suggest that you close your eyes. I suggest you pray with your eyes open. But he prayed with his eyes open toward heaven. Father, the hour has come. Okay? He's getting ready to go to the cross. Drama's about to occur in his life. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. So it's about him. Just like with David. Glorify your Son. Don't ever be afraid. It's your personal relationship with God, people. Make it personal. Verse 2. Even as you gave him authority, that is his Son, as you, God the Father, gave him his Son, over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. That's you and me. Verse 3. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorify you on earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. How do we glorify God? Accomplish the work that he's given you to do. That's how we glorify him. Verse 5. Now, Father, glorify me. Think about it. Now, David was in hurting, so he would say, hear me, listen to me, heal me, protect me, be gracious to me. Look what Christ says. Glorify me. Asking the Father to glorify him. What do you want God to do with you? Now, verse 5. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Verse 6, I have manifested your name to the men whom you gave me, not out of this world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Verse 7, now they have come to know that everything you have given me is from you. People, it's our job to let people know our relationship with the Father. So many Christians, it's all about Jesus. Now, I got to be careful here. Be sure you understand me correctly. But it's about God the Father. He came down to bring us to the Father. Yes, we glorify him, just as he glorified the Father to glorify him. But don't ever fall short of giving glory to God the Father in your witnessing and in your own prayer life. Verse 7. Now they have come to know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words which you gave me, I have given to them. And they received them and truly understood that I came forth from you. And they believed that you sent me. People, that's the gospel. Right there's the gospel. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, sent by God to earth to die on the place of our sins. It's the gospel. Verse 9. I, very personal, I ask on their behalf, I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom you have sent, given me, for they are yours. People, yes, we can pray for the unbelievers. Yes, we can. We should. But boy, don't ever stop praying for believers. They're the ones in the conflict. They're the ones in the battle. Especially those who are growing in the Word. Those who know how to be filled with the Spirit. Those that are in the battle. Those are the ones you want to pray for. You want to pray for each other in this room. You want to pray for Jim and Annette Langston. You want to pray for those in the battle. Pray for the Rieslings, Mexico. See, these are the ones in the battle. I can name each one of you. Pray for each other. By name. They're the ones in the battle. Verse 10. And all things that are mine are yours. And all the things that are yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. Verse 11. If we went through just from I, me. It's about him, just like with David. Don't be afraid to do that. Verse 11. I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are. See? So we go to the Father, we pray for Jim Langston. We pray for each other by name. Pray for your husband, pray for your wife, pray for your children, pray for your parents. Pray for people in the assembly. Verse 12. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me. And I guarded them, and not me, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. That is Satan. Okay. Verse 13. But now. How many times has he said that? But now. But now. If we were studying this prayer, we'd go through and develop each of the progression of our Lord. But now, I come to you. And these things I speak to the world, so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. Christ cares about you having inner happiness. He cares. It's what he wants to give you, not just salvation, inner happiness. Verse 14, I have given them your word. There's the source of inner happiness. Your word. And the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world, and they hated me. It's the idea. So, if they hated Christ, why are they going to hate us? Verse 15. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. This is very interesting. He doesn't ask that we be taken out. That's why often we want to pray, Lord, deliver them, take them out of some kind of pressure zone. But that's not what he's praying here. That's not what he's praying. I'm just hot. Okay. We don't ask to be taken out of these problems, but to be delivered through them and protected. As I was reading this, I merely stopped and prayed for Donald Trump, our president. Don't take him out of all of that problem, but protect him. Protect him from the darts that are being thrown at him. I've got water, thank you. Don't be alarmed by it. I find it very interesting to watch the journey of the battle. Here's Trump doing God's will as far as Israel is concerned. And man, the world is against him. The Democrats are against him. Republicans are against him. Everyone's against him. And then at the same time, here he is doing God's will. It's just fun to watch this battle. It is a lot of fun watching the battle. Okay, 17. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. There you go. There you have it. There's the truth, the word of God. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. Okay, that's where we are. Not to be taken out of the world, we're sent into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. People, I'm going to close it now. I've got to close it. And let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this psalm, this prayer of Jesus Christ. Pray you'll take the things we've seen, use it to your glory. In Christ's name, amen.